I stared down at the memorandum on company letterhead in disbelief. I secretly hoped I was having a nightmare, refusing to wake up to my everyday reality. My father, Charles Chastain Sr., had set a meeting for my younger brother Charlie and me to discuss his sundown plan, as he called it. Charlie'd always been a daddy's boy, being the only male child, and naturally assumed that once father retired, he would automatically step into the company's chief executive officer role. Charlie was 4 years younger than me and held the position of chief financial officer. He had skated through college, passed his CPA certification, and was a shoo-in for the position a few years after joining the firm. Charlie excelled at his subordinates maintaining the workload and was strictly a numbers person. I completed an MBA at a prestigious Ivy League school and was at the top of my class. A complete opposite of Charlie, I was a people person and the closer on the majority of our most significant real estate transactions. He could work the numbers, but he couldn't work the people. As the chief operating officer, I kept the business growing and established the relationships and groundwork for repeat customers. Chastain International was one of the fastest-growing brokerages in the United States and several European countries. I looked at Charlie, and it was apparent that our father's plan details were just as shocking to Charlie. His face blanched white at the first competition father arranged for us. I reread the first statement and looked up at my father. It stated, "The first task I place before you is a test of your resilience and creativity." I was comfortable with that statement and continued to read. "My children, you've served the organization well and brought exceptional skills to the company. It's become difficult to select my successor based on your performance in the office. You both excel in your areas of expertise. I have decided to look outside the box and challenge you to a competition that will allow you to demonstrate the skills necessary to take Chastain International to the next level as a corporation." "What the f—" I heard Charlie mumble. "You want us to do what?" Charlie asked for clarification. "My instructions should be relatively straightforward. Each of you will be delivered to a primitive location, Tatum in Alaska and you in Canada, to survive for 6 months. You'll be supplied with the bare necessities to survive and are expected to use your skills to find creative ways to thrive in this environment. I will continue paying your salaries during your absence, but you will have little access to those funds where you will be living."
6 months? Really, Dad? Charlie complained. This isn't like sending us off to summer camp.
Fortunately, I remained quiet and allowed Charlie to dig his hole a bit deeper.
"This test will be the farthest thing you could imagine from a summer camp. You'll have staple food supplies, protection, transportation equipment, and a satellite phone, only for emergencies, or to order supply drops, or to call me if you want to tap out," he said, glaring at Charlie. "If you can't survive 6 months with nothing but your instincts and creativity, you surely won't thrive in running this company."
I continued reading while Charlie continued moaning. "We'll leave in 30 days?" I asked.
"That's correct. That should allow you time to get your affairs in order here and to prepare for life in the wilderness. I will provide more detailed information about your living arrangements and basic supplies tomorrow after this is more time to sink in. You will be within a day's travel of a small town or village that can be utilized to resupply your needs. However, this must be done by land or water before winter arrives. Afterward, supplies are only delivered by bush plane once a month. You will be expected to hunt, fish, and forage for your food."
"At least you won't leave a fiancé behind,"
Charlie growled at me. "I'm sure Carol can survive without you for 6 months," I said.
"Tatum's right. You shouldn't marry her if she can't support you through this adventure."
"If we choose not to participate?" Charlie asked.
"I am prepared to cast a search net for someone suitable to run the company after I retire," Charles stated.
I nearly laughed when I saw Charlie's face go from white to green. I hadn't realized how whiny he was when challenged. He must have noticed the smirk on my face.
"Was this your idea?"
"I'm as surprised as you."
"I've been thinking about this for months. If you have a suitable challenge to test your fortitude, I'll entertain it, Charlie, but your clock is ticking."
All Charlie could do was shake his head.
"I suggest you learn how to survive during these next 30 days. You have much to discover about living in primitive conditions through the winter."
I nodded to him. "Is there anything else you want to share with us today?"
Charles chuckled and shook his head. "No, I believe I have shocked you enough for one day."